Now, having thought about the wheel as a whole, let's go on to part one and talk for a few minutes about Christ the center. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul cautioned the people in Rome to watch out for people who take your eyes off Jesus. Real happiness in our lives comes in the way we respond to the best and the worst that happens to us. And there's a variety of ways that I can keep my eyes on Jesus, who can instruct me then in my correct responses to life. Let me just share one with you today. Has a thought occurred to you that if you're concerning yourself with Jesus being the center of your life, then you should make note of the qualities he really valued? For instance, Matthew 5, 3 through 11 is quite plain on what he saw as significant. Take a look at those verses. What traits do you see there? My list reads like this: humility, compassion, gentleness, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, mercifulness, purity, peacemaker, courage, blamelessness. The Bible tells us we have another excellent teacher, the Holy Spirit, and if you look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we see what his control adds to the qualities that we should display. This would give us a few more to add to our list. For instance, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You might draw a circle, teacher, and write the name of Jesus in it, and then place around that circle these qualities. Then, in an even wider circle, list the relationships that you encounter each day. For instance, your communication in marriage, your discipline of the children, management of the budget, encouragement of other Christians, and so on. And our successful achievement in these essential daily relationships is directly related to our development of Christ attributes. So I suggest you take some time at the end of the day to draw the experiences you've had in various relationships through one or more of these qualities to see if God was pleased in your directly relating to Jesus in your response, or if you encountered a difficulty which plainly said, you need some work on this quality. The more insights we gain through things that happen to us, then the more understanding we will have for Christ-likeness in our associations. I think that statement on taking the life relationships through these qualities to see if God is pleased by our relating to Jesus was perhaps a little difficult one. Let me just give you a few examples of how you could take some life's encounters, each day's encounters, through these qualities. For instance, one, did I speed today trying to get to the study on time, of course? Well, that activity of speeding is a rebuke to my faithfulness to the law. Now, faithfulness is one of the qualities he desires. Was I late for an appointment today or for a meal? Well, this could be a reminder, teacher, of my pride, wanting to do things in my own time. And this awareness then will cause me to pray for humility, which is another one of the characteristics that he desires. Or, why did I allow someone to believe a false impression that she has of me? Probably because deep down where I am motivated, I must care more about popularity than about purity of motive. And of course, purity is another quality that he desires. But you know, God can change all of these things where we fail. Because you see, the gospel says to every person, you don't have to stay as you are, you can change. And you know, I don't have to be controlled by the devil, who's not out simply to goof me up or trip me up a bit, but he's out to throw me on the scrap heap and demolish me. Well, teacher, our hearts do burn to have the God of 1 Corinthians 10:13 make a way of escape for us when we are tempted to exhibit anything less than the qualities that matter to him and that the Holy Spirit says are ours. Blessings are on you as you communicate this lesson and these truths to your class this week.